physical operating costs are difficult to quantify, but they're important for agencies to include in their economic analysis of transportation infrastructure investments. Dr. Eli Hajj from the University of Nevada, Reno, joins the podcast to discuss the roadway factors that can impact those operating costs. Transportation infrastructure. It's what keeps our economy moving and gets people safely where they need to go. But maintaining safe, reliable infrastructure assets is a complex challenge that requires innovative solutions. I'm Nick Frank from Agile Assets, and I'll be your guide as we navigate through the complex and evolving world of infrastructure asset management. Every episode, you'll discover best practices, industry trends, and agency success stories that will help you improve your asset management strategies and get the most from your infrastructure funding. You'll learn how to save time, save money, and save lives while delivering safer, longer-lasting transportation networks. My guest today is Dr. Eli Hajj. Dr. Hajj is a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering and Associate Director of the Western Regional Superpave Center at the University of Nevada, Reno. He specializes in pavement engineering and science with an emphasis on sustainability of pavement systems and dynamic response and testing of pavement structures under non-standard vehicle loading. Dr. Hajj is an active member of multiple national and international organizations and committees and is a recipient of multiple research awards. Dr. Hajj, thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you, Nick.
First of all, tell me a little bit about your work background and your role at the University of Nevada, Reno.
Sure. So I'm a faculty at the University of Nevada, Reno, and I am part of the Pavement Engineering and Science program in the Civil and Environmental Engineering Department. The program is a nationally and internationally recognized teaching, research, and training program. And we do conduct high quality research activities for both public and private entities. Our research efforts focus on advanced pavement analysis methods and innovative and sustainable infrastructure materials, obviously leading to the conservation of natural resources and ultimately the extension in pavement's life.
Well, I'm really excited to talk to you today. We're going to dive into a topic area that we haven't really discussed yet here before on Move Your Assets, and it's about vehicle operating costs, something that you know a lot about. And so at a base level, let's just talk about what are vehicle operating costs.
So vehicle operating costs refer to those costs that vary with the vehicle usage, and those include the fuel, tires wear, maintenance and repairs, and mileage-related depreciation cost. Now, these costs have direct influence on travelers and would typically be considered in a transportation benefit cost analysis. So in other words, a systematic evaluation of the economic advantages, and what I mean by advantages, the benefits, and the disadvantages, which basically will be the cost of any set of investment alternatives by highway agencies. That's what really is the transportation benefit cost analysis. Now, there are other vehicle operating costs, such as the ownership cost and the finance charges. Now, ownership costs could include like the insurance, the vehicle license, registration, and taxes. Typically, these type of costs are not considered in a transportation benefit cost analysis because they are not influenced by driving behavior and the roadway conditions, such as you know roadway grade, roadway curvatures, and the pavement surface roughness.
You touched on it there, and I want to follow up on some of the factors that do impact those vehicle operating costs. Can you dive in a little bit more about what some of those are?
Sure, there are several factors that can impact the vehicle operating cost. And this obviously include the vehicle miles traveled, the traffic speed and the traffic delay. And we talked about the roadway geometry, like your roadway curvatures and grades, as well as your pavement surface conditions. Now, a good example would be a roadway capacity expansion project that reduces congestion delay, which eventually reduces fuel cost. Another example would be a pavement resurfacing project to improve pavement surface roughness. What I mean by improving pavement surface roughness is basically making your pavement surface smoother for the rider. That would also reduce the fuel and the non-fuel vehicle operating costs. Now, it is important, though, to realize that the magnitude of the impact of these factors would depend on the vehicle characteristics, such as the vehicle type, the vehicle model, the vehicle engine, as well as the driver behavior. So aggressive driving has a more negative impact on your vehicle operating costs, and it's a big drain on your tires, brakes, and fuel costs. So costs can be reduced by correcting poor driving habits.
You know, it's always interesting to hear about how small things can drastically impact, you know, the cost and the wear and tear of things from pavement to your costs and everything, and how it all just, it's all together. It all integrates, you know, better pavement, better gas mileage, better vehicle costs, all that all just ties together. As we continue to talk about our operating costs, I know there are some different models for how you can base that. Can you talk about some of those different models?
For conventional vehicles, we said that the commonly considered cost models would be the fuel consumptions, or sometimes we refer to them the fuel economy models, the tire wear models, and the maintenance and repair models, as well as the mileage-related depreciation models. Now, the basis for these models generally falls under one of three methodologies. The first one would be mathematical models, which include empirical or mechanistic models. The second one would be the model models, and the third would be the physics-based full vehicle dynamic simulation. Now, each one of these models or methodology has specific advantages and disadvantages. For instance, the mathematical empirical models, they fit an equation to measure test data for fuel consumption, for instance. And generally, we seek to make that equation dependent on physical variables such as the vehicle speed and power. Now, the equation, the empirical equation coefficients, or the coefficients for those empirical equations, are based on vehicle tests over selected roadways with given or known roadway conditions and vehicle parameters. So basically, an empirical model may not be suitable for adaptation to changes in vehicle design, vehicle configurations, and roadway conditions. Within the mathematical model, we said we have the mechanistic models. And these are basically models that are theoretically formulated to better represent the interaction between the vehicle itself and the roadway conditions. These models typically include the key physical parameters according to basic laws of physics and mechanics. And the accuracy of these formulations would depend on the validity of the theoretical assumptions and require a calibration process. The calibration generally is based on, you know, it's data intensive, but it is less intensive than what you need for your empirical models. Now, the second general approach, which is the model models, this approach requires data similar to mathematical models, but rather than fitting data to an equation, we basically separate the fuel data into what we call bins that are made up of measured fuel economy data distributed by the vehicle power and/or the vehicle speed. And the approach is the physics-based full vehicle dynamic simulations that require the development of physics-based models that represent the vehicles in the fleet combined with specific driving cycles and roadway characteristics. This would require simulations to calculate the fuel economy. And I mentioned driving cycles, and what I mean by that is more like the speed profiles, right? So your speed over time, how your driving behavior is changing over time. Now, physics-based full vehicle dynamic simulation would require thousands and thousands of individual simulations. And of course, the processing of large amounts of data to be able to develop fuel economy results for fleet vehicles. However, the strength of this approach is that it does not require extensive retesting of the current vehicle fleet, where the data might become outdated after time. So to sum up your question, is basically each methodology has its pros and cons, The key with any model is to be able to address the effect of changes in vehicle technology, the driving behavior, and the actual road conditions that we define, like grades, curvatures, and pavement surface roughness.
Fantastic examples. And you talked a lot about how each model requires a lot of good data. How does an agency import and acquire the kind of data needed to make each one of these models successful?
Yeah, because you have several models available, and some of those models really can be complicated more than others. There are some published numbers that agencies can rely on, but most of the time, these numbers are generally like average values for certain fleet of vehicles or class of vehicles, and it make it a little bit hard to use in transportation benefit cost analyses. So what happens over time, agencies start funding their own research efforts to establish basically or collect their own vehicle operating cost model data and establish their models actually and their tools for benefit cost analysis of highway and transit projects. I mean, good examples are, you know, Minnesota Department of Transportation, the California Department of Transportation, Texas Department of Transportation, and so many others. For instance, a five-year long project has recently been completed for the Federal Highway Administration to improve the fuel and non-fuel vehicle operating cost estimation for use in benefit cost analysis. Now, after completing of this project and realizing the difficulty that can be faced by others during implementation of such modules, the Pavement Engineering and Science Program at the University of Nevada, Reno developed a web-based application to basically facilitate the use of these models. This web applications for the vehicle operating cost calculations is actually free to public and can be accessed online.
We're talking a lot about funds, and when you're talking about cities, counties, state agencies who are always worried about and focused on how much money they're spending on their pavement, their structures, their fleet, their operating costs, what challenges do you see agencies facing when they're trying to estimate, okay, how much is it going to cost to operate our vehicles?
From an agency perspective, I would say there are two main challenges that they can face. The first one, which we touched a little bit on that one, is the ability to collect that proper data to be used in the models to estimate the vehicle operating cost. Now, we all know that say that a model output is only as good as the inputs are, right? So garbage in, garbage out. So there is some efforts that the agency has to go through to be able to collect that proper data that goes into those vehicle operating costs. That's the first challenge. The second challenge is the adaptation of these vehicle operating cost models to changes in vehicle technologies or transport modes. So models eventually needs to be periodically updated to include emerging technologies in order to stay relevant.
And how should these agencies be considering those costs when they're making their big time decisions?
Basically, highway planning requires the estimates of fuel consumptions among other vehicle operating costs. As an example, agency can use the estimation of vehicle operating cost to impact their decisions on highway project prioritization and selection, or can even use the vehicle operating cost estimations as a basis for highway project modifications. So a decrease in the vehicle operating cost is an important and critical component of the benefits derived from such transportation network improvements. Now, vehicle operating costs are also part of the costs that highway agencies need to consider when evaluating pavement investment strategies. Another good example for this is a pavement lifecycle cost analysis to evaluate the long-term economic efficiency between competing alternative investment options. Such analysis would include agency costs and user costs, besides other relevant costs, over the life of alternative investments. So it basically attempts to identify the best value for the investment expenditures. And what I mean by the best value, the lowest long-term cost that satisfy the performance set, the performance objectives set by the agency. Now, vehicle operating costs are one of the three components for user costs. So we're talking about, you know, there's a delay cost, there's a crash cost, and there is the user cost, which basically includes the vehicle operating costs. Now, on a national level, the Federal Highway Administration applies the Highway Economic Requirement System model that includes vehicle operating costs to estimate the national highway conditions and performance under alternative investments in highway capacity expansion and preservation. So FHWA provides this information periodically to the US Congress. Vehicle operating cost models can be used to inform transportation related policy decisions and rulemakings, and can also be used for predicting the impact of future changes in fleet mixes or transport modes.
I'm going to briefly wait on the future question here and go back to something you mentioned, because it's been a constant theme a lot throughout our podcast, and it's pavement management practices and good pavement management practices. So what is the relationship between your vehicle operating costs and pavement management practices?
So this can be looked at from two different aspects. The first one is by having a good pavement management practice, by well maintaining pavements, we provide the public users smoother and safer riding surfaces over a significant portion of the life of the pavements that would eventually result in reduced vehicle operating costs. In other words, higher vehicle fuel efficiency, for example. Now, the second aspect for having good pavement management practices would be to minimize long traffic interruptions and extended construction work zones. So pavements that are left to deteriorate over time without periodic and planned preventive maintenance activities would require significant fixes that involve extended construction time, traffic delay, and even in some instances in more traveled miles due to a long detour. And this would eventually result in an increase in the vehicle operating costs. So vehicle operating cost information can really be part of the decision criteria to maintain pavement assets.
Another topic that we do touch on a lot on Move Your Assets is integrating processes. You know, get rid of the silos, start integrating your different department areas. How important do you think it is to integrate, you know, systems like your pavement management and your vehicle operating costs?
It's very critical and it's very important to be integrated, because at the end of the day, you know, what impact the users is in terms of the vehicle operating costs. So the user is going to feel those costs or those benefits or disbenefits directly from their vehicle operating costs. So when we talk about, you know, fuel consumptions or your fuel efficiencies, when we talk about your tire wears and how often you have to change your tires, when we talk about your maintenance and repairs because of, you know, rough roadways and their impact on your suspensions, their impact on your oil consumptions, and so forth. So there is a direct impact to the users, and it becomes very important, very critical for agencies in their transportation benefit cost analysis to realize those impacts. And any investments in our infrastructures should be based on those benefits or disbenefits to the users through the vehicle operating costs, besides other costs that we also talked about as part of the user cost.
Dr. Hodge, you've gone incredibly in depth on this topic. And before I let you go, do you have any final thoughts on, you know, where we're heading in the future, or, you know, what agencies can do to improve their processes concerning vehicle operating costs?
So transportation improvement projects, we know that will result in changes in the cost of operating vehicles, which for the user, it could be counted as a benefits or disbenefits. So it's very important and critical for the agencies to have proper and representative vehicle operating costs models that they can use in such benefit cost analysis. Now, those VOC models need to be able to capture emerging new technologies. A good example is, for example, is the autonomous vehicles. Another example is, you know, moving from gasoline vehicles into electrical vehicles. So all of these different technologies that we're going to see, that we're seeing now and we're going to see in the futures, will have impacts on our vehicle operating costs. And we need our models to be flexible enough to capture those changes so that we can reflect those benefits and disbenefits in our transportation improvement projects.
Dr. Eli Haj from the University of Nevada, Reno, thank you for sharing your expertise with us today on Move Your Assets.
Thank you, Nick. It was my pleasure and I appreciate this opportunity.
If you want to learn more about transportation asset management strategies that save time, money, and lives, head on over to agileassets.com. Once again, thank you to Dr. Eli Haj for sharing his expertise with us today. I'm Nick Frank. Join us again next month for another edition of Move Your Assets.